Hello, hello, and welcome to Polyam Are We, the podcast which deals with polyamory and ethical non-monogamy from a male emotional perspective. This is a very special episode of Polyam Are We because this is Polyam Our Way. In studio, I have my beautiful wife, who I've talked about a few times, Nash. Say hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
That's how we do it here on Polyam Are We. It's different, it's unique, it's non-traditional.
It's you.
It is me. So, welcome. How are you today? How are we? How is everything in your world?
Very good. Like, very happy to be here. Thank you for having me as your guest.
Right.
I think it makes sense.
It does.
Just to kind of introduce me to, with the people like this, they know who I am. They can put a face. If you are watching it from YouTube, you can see, you can put the face on me. Well, I guess we will add as well the picture on the cover.
Well, I think I've been using the same cover all the way along. Is that wrong? This is my first podcast ever, so I'm open to suggestions anyone listening.
We will talk about that later, but yeah, I'm very happy to be here. I just would like to have a disclaimer. English is not my first language. My English is not perfect.
But our communication is pretty damn good.
That's good. That's true. But just in case that you say like, oh, she said something wrong, or that's not the way, just sorry for that.
You don't have to worry. We don't judge on this podcast. We're open. We're open-minded.
I'd like to give that disclaimer just in case that somebody feel kind of... Well, anyway, you can guess from my accent that English is not my first language anyway.
So give us a bit of a background then on you, because I've just went like broad strokes on us so far, a few experiences, but what is you? What makes you you? And what, in your perspective, what prompted you into wanting to open up our relationship? Because I know, like, it was a mutual decision that I know what I've told people so far and what I know in my own self, that I feel I was always kind of questioning the whole one person for one person. And as I mentioned, I've said it to you before, like, I was asking my mother this when I was a kid. I remember going,
yeah,
you know, why is there just one person for one why is that a thing?
Yeah, no, I think so. Like, for me, my upbringing was really, really, was not religious, because my family was like never that religious, but more close-minded. Like, I was coming from a small town in Mexico. So everybody kind of, you follow this idea of the religion, even if you don't practice it that much. I was in a Catholic school and having always the same friends with the same mentality. So for me, it was kind of, I was very close in that way. Then I always had these ideas, you know, of when I grow up, when I get married, have kids. My idea was I will get married when I'm 22, have kids. I will study culinary arts because that way I can know what to cook for my husband every day.
Just another disclaimer, Mexico is still a very conservative, you know, patriarchy driven kind of society.
Especially on the in the small towns. Like in big cities, I think it will be changing, but the small towns definitely still kind of some traits of that. But it was, you know, that was my upbringing. Yes, I remember that was my ideal. So like, I will get married when I am 22. I will have kids. I will study culinary arts to cook for my husband and stay at home mom. And the universe was just laughing
at
me.
Do all the traditional things.
Exactly. That's everything I knew, and that's everything. I never questioned myself if that was what I wanted to do or not. I just follow it because it's in this idea of romantic love, what we have been taught since Disney, like princess, that's what how we believe that is love, you know? And I will be addressing maybe that more ahead about this mentality and where it comes from the women perspective. I know this podcast is about the male perspective, but I think so it's important as well to address this, how the mentality about it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I would want a female guest on, especially if they're in polyamorous or long-term ethical non-monogamous relationships, to talk about how it's necessarily affected their relationship or affected any changes they've seen emotionally in their partner, especially if it's a male partner. Because growing up, men, we're generally taught, if you grew up in the 90s or 2000s like me, men don't cry.
Yes, that's other myth, other limited belief as well.
You may hear Nash speak about limited beliefs a lot, or the universe, or karma, or balance,
or astrology,
or it's Mercury's fault because she's very deep into the whole astrological scene. Is that right?
I like astrology. I like everything related with spirituality, but I guess that's other topic. If one day you are interested for me to talking about how to mix spirituality with polyamory, I'm happy with that.
Interesting. I'm planning on doing an episode on that down the line, where, because there's a lot of you've talked in the past about twin flames and things along those lines, and how that ties in then to polyamorous relationships, how it would be easier within this twin flame dynamic in an ethical non-monogamous situation. And it's very interesting, but we won't get deep into that because that's a topic
for
all
other day
in itself. That is big.
Yeah, and that's for other day, but yeah, definitely connects a little bit with polyamory. So I was just going back to this idea about my ideas and just never questioning what I wanted. I think so my first break of the shell was coming to Spain in 2007 to study, and that's when I realized and I started questioning more myself about my beliefs, what I wanted, what I wanted to kind of questioning more, you know, at the end of the day, but still following the same rules.
You had a shake-up then, though, because you were saying you came from a very conservative Catholic background in Mexico. Back then, you were very kind of the priest's word is law. And
in my town, it is. And some people still, like my family was not, mm-hmm. but we still kind of like, at the end of the day, the school and everything was, we have to be praying between each classes and stuff like that, you know. So
but you had an experience then in Spain, you told me about that, opened your eyes a bit about purgatory or something, was it? And you were just like, what?
I was just like, yeah, like at the end of the day, it was like in Spain helped me to kind of open a lot more things, you know, like mentally wise, because in Mexico, I remember the mom of a friend was telling me like before traveling that don't forget that if you lose your virginity before sex, you are, as a woman, you lose your value. So I was like, what? Oh my God, I don't want to lose my value, you know?
All it. I see.
So, yeah. So that's basically where I'm coming from, just to you have an idea that this mentality is not just like something that I was always rebel. I was always just thinking that should be this way. Mm-hmm. It's just when I start questioning myself about if it's something that I really wanted and believe for myself or not. And if it's something that you wanted, that's great. You know, it's nothing against it. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. I think so.
Love is love, whichever way it works. Yeah.
The mentality where we are right now as a society is that do whatever you want as long as it makes you happy. Just question it and make sure that it's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I met you. Like, we get along since the first date really, really well. And basically, we met when I was 23, I think.
You were 22, I was 24. Wasn't it? Yeah,
no,
so
what, 2012?
Yeah, so 12 years ago. And I'm 38 now, so I was 26, well, and you were 24.
Yeah. It was like we weren't around that age.
In our 20s.
You know, I was being very conservative as well all the time up to that point. So basically, we get along very, very well since we met. We never basically split after that.
No, it's been like 12 years we've been side by side, except for when you went to New York for a week to do a course and I went to visit a friend in Orlando a few years ago.
Basically we have been, like, we always get along. We basically get married 2 years after dating. And as well, in that time, I was a completely different person.
We both were.
We both were. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, you like, the people that see me in YouTube, hello. But I will put a picture here. I will say to Carl to put a picture just here. Hopefully he doesn't forget. If you don't see a picture, it's because he forget. Check it in my Instagram, if not. But
I'll put up the wedding picture or
the wedding
your
picture
one
from
before
Alice.
And your before and after picture, because it's very before and very after.
So basically, in that time, I used to weigh 105 kilos. That we're talking is around 220
pounds
or something like that, in like average. I was like a very big person. I'm not a tall person at all. I am 5'2", that I think is 158.
You're a little cutie.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like a big girl, but as well, like my character was completely different than what it is right now. So I think so as well, the obesity was kind of affecting a lot my character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so. Then it came a change for me, you know. What happened if I never had any kind of dating life? Because my boyfriend before Carl, like basically we went to one or two dates and I just basically as well started going out with him and stopped doing dating at all. Like then when I was younger as well, like I was the chubby girl, I would never did it. So basically the relationship I had was going basically from one or two dates and direct to a relationship and just never date. And I never miss it because it's something that I say, well, it's not for me.
It's something you never knew, though. Exactly. So if you've never experienced something, what's to miss?
Exactly.
In
you
some
know,
ways, yeah, except for what you see in, as you said, Disney movies. Exactly. And where's your Prince Charming?
Exactly, but I had my Prince Charming at that point, and that's fine. But then after the years start passing by, I think so, relationships can get to in a level of commodity,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you are very used to the person, you are very used to everything that is.
Yeah, because I mean, you can, even though it's completely you don't want to, you can just start taking each other for granted, you know, without even realizing.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just like you're always there, it's always going to be status
we
quo.
We have a ring now, and yeah. Is this belief all the time about once he put a ring on me, that's it, you know, I lock him for the more, like at least it's a promise that will be forever. And that's the other thing, you know, when you get married, you make this promise of we will be forever together. But at the end of the day, it's like a very heavy promise because people mm-hmm. is changing, people is evolving all the time. And the best is, I feel that you and I, we were able to evolve in a relationship at the same time that we're evolving as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think so that's what it helps our relationship. But right now we see how in couples that they have been together between the 4 to 4 and plus years.
The 7-year itch.
Exactly. They start kind of getting the struggle because they get to this monotony where the falling in love process is kind of like this new energy relationship kind of dies and then continue with the monotony. I think so that's what was happening for us at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
We were like really in our routine.
I recall by our sixth or seventh year, and we were living in Mexico, and you'd be going to bed around 11 p.m. just to do your own thing upstairs, and I'd be downstairs playing computer games, and I felt that divide. And it went on for a few months, this before we opened our relationship, and I was starting to feel this whole, is this it? You know, is this our lives now? And you know, I knew we'd have to have a conversation of some sort because I did feel a wedge between us. And I don't know if you felt the same at that time.
Yeah, I think so. It was like, well, that's it. We promised we'll be together. The next step is having kids. The only thing that was stopping us for having kids was we want to travel a little bit more.
Well, I think for me as well, because I always said that I'd want to be more financially secure before I brought kids into the world. But my career history has been very haphazard, to say the least. I'm finally getting there, but it's been a journey.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
So basically, yeah, I start feeling, so as well, I was feeling very unhappy with myself because mm-hmm. for the weight and everything. And I have a friend that inspired me about losing the weight. Norma, in case that you are listening to this, thank you so much for your influence in this world and your influence in me. And she got a gastric sleeve done mm-hmm. where she lost a lot of weight. And seeing that effect on her, I said, you know what? I want to do it. I want to lose, have the surgery. I talk with my parents and mm-hmm. they support me in 100% as well. I want to have this surgery. It works very well for me. Has been 6 years since then.
Should I put up the picture now on YouTube or earlier when you said so? Or I'll put it up again.
Yeah.
The before and after.
And so basically, it did start changing, a change in me, you know, like mentally, emotionally. I went through this kind of process of loving myself a lot. It's not like before I didn't. I felt I did, but now I see the difference of loving myself, you know? Mm-hmm. So basically, once the lost weight happened, that I start looking more after myself, that I start looking, dressing up better all the time, more like kind of wearing makeup, because I was more, before I was more kind of not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I start noticing as well that like guys start looking at me a lot more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of something started there, you know, because I start realizing I am a very kind of, I analyze myself a lot. I really, really, all the time I'm very introspective. At the end of the day, I'm Virgo with a stellium in the house one for Virgo. So whenever every person that knows about astrology, it will know.
We'll have a whole episode on astrology.
They will know what it means. I am triple Virgo in my big tree. So yeah, I am super
big three,
big V. I'm super analytical, and I start, okay, what is happening? Why I'm feeling this way? So I was okay. My feelings for Carl has not been touched. I love him with all my heart. I love this relationship. I love the security we have. By the other hand, I noticed that these guys are looking at me. They are not just any kind of guy. They are like model guy, like super handsome guys.
Gym bros.
It's like guys that I will never dream, even like in my wildest dreams, mm-hmm. to they will look at me. And I was just even, for me, was just even the look back and just the flirting and that kind of experience. But I cannot do that because, of course, I'm a married woman. I don't want to hurt the marriage, but I want to experience this. So actually, it was not even about sex at all. It was just about
feeling wanted,
mm-hmm. be able to experience that I didn't feel, that even just a flirting situation without feeling guilty of hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start kind of analyzing, okay, like this is a myth that a belief that I have that if I love you, I cannot see anyone else or I cannot
have
attraction for someone else. Yeah. You know, I was still loving you with all my heart,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I was having these feelings. So that's when I realized, okay, this is how people start cheating then.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of having this conversation with their spouse, they just like is the kind of easiest way,
yeah.
hoping that the spouse or the husband won't realize anything will change, but you will want that, you will have that desires that you want. Because at the end of the day, for me, I was feeling that if I don't chase as well that feeling that I want to experience,
mm-hmm.
I was going to be betraying myself.
Absolutely. And like, as I said in a previous podcast as well, it's one of the biggest, hardest conversations you may ever have, but could also be one of the most rewarding conversations you could ever have with a partner. Let's say one of you feels this way or both, you never know, but it doesn't really happen too easily in traditional couples, because I think one is always afraid of what the other might say if they broach this conversation, and then losing the person because exactly. they have this, you know, more open-minded kind of mentality or leaning.
Yeah, I think so. Like, if I, I'm not, I'm, I don't feel I am a person to be able to, I don't have a background of psychologist to see, you know, what I understand this way and the way that works.
Mm-hmm.
But according to my experience and our experience, I would say, like, if your partner comes with wanting to have this conversation, see it from the point of view that he doesn't want to cheat. He just wants to see if it's on the other options. Uh-huh. Because, of course, it's something missing in a relationship. I feel that after a certain amount of period, like when you're with a person, your basic needs are covered. The mm-hmm. most of your needs are covered.
Mm-hmm.
And they are fine for the amount of time. But after a certain amount of time, those needs that have not been covered, they start coming floating to the surface, because mm-hmm. all your basic and the most important needs that the other person are covering are there, you know, mm-hmm. it's being covered.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes with the time of the year, like just the tastes are changing, you want to experience something more. So mm-hmm. these new needs start coming. And that, I think, so once again, we come back to it's when people start cheating, when the relationship just break, and usually the monogamy just change to a new partner to start kind of experience all these new feelings again. So just if your partner comes one day with this conversation, if it's something that you will buy into, that you don't like it, it's completely valid. But don't take it like I am divorcing it because mm-hmm. how dare him to come to this conversation. At the end of the day, it's communication between a couple, you know?
Absolutely. Because like even from my point of view, I've seen it with traditional couples, whereas the idea of individuality, once they're married, individuality sort of gets left on the back burner, you know, a person's own individual needs and wants as opposed to the couple's individual needs and wants. And I mean, no matter what, even I've mentioned this in our, in this podcast as well, we love each other till the cows come home, but we also respect each other's individuality and respect that I may have some interests that you don't have, you may have some interests that I don't have, and we nurture each other that way in supporting each other in our own individual wants, needs, and desires.
Exactly. So I think so, like, at least for what can I see now looking back, I think so was the best thing that could happen to a relationship. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know? Because if we never made the change, it would be just, we would be divorced, I think, so at this point.
I think so. Well,
maybe being good friends, but I don't think we'll be still together.
Or we would have just settled into this status quo. But yeah, yeah,
we've been unhappy.
I think, like, I know. I can feel it. If I could see through into the multiverse and I can see that universe, I can hardly feel myself unhappy, but never wanting to say anything because I don't want to hurt you.
Exactly. You know,
and then living with this resentment and this internal anger and constantly festering in my own head, and then doing, because I know me, I do stupid things when I'm feeling frustrated and I feel like I need to lash out. I'll do things on a whim, which don't make any logical sense, you know, against the other person. And then I take a step back and I'm like, why, what, where did that come from? What was that weird action?
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, I think so that was the best decision we could have done. But for us, was to have that bad conversation, because I knew that in my core that I would never wanted to cheat on you. I never wanted to hurt you. So the only option, I didn't want to cheat on myself. I didn't want to hurt myself, because that was the other option of just stay quiet, feel like this marriage is a burn, like it's a cage. And then the third option that is the one that people choose the least is just have a conversation with you.
Yeah, yeah. Which, as I said, is probably one of the biggest, hardest, most difficult conversations any couple could ever have, but could end up being the most rewarding.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, I understand people that they don't want to have it. And at the end of the day, a couple, a relationship works between two parts. Like, you can want to have this conversation, but as well, the other partner need to be open to kind of the idea that just even listening, you know, like, it's not like just for listen. It's not that I will accept, but at least I want to see how you're feeling, what is your thought. Because at the end of the day, sex and love, they are completely separate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, once again, we come with this idea, and this is when we have this conversation. We agree that it's something that we want to experience. And for us, the main thing was look after the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how we want to open a relationship without hurting our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think so the most important part was that we didn't do this because we have a specific person that we just want to have sex with.
Exactly. At that point, I mean, there was no other romantic interest for either of us. It wasn't like we were chatting to anyone else.
Exactly. It was just because we want to experience it.
Uh-huh. Or open up the possibility.
Exactly. Because other thing that I have noticed a lot in Reddit is that these people come with this offer because they're already kind of chatting with someone.
Exactly.
And they just want to have the free pass.
But that would be the non-ethical side of
non-monogamy. Exactly. So at the end of the day, we just did this because we say, okay, let's experience how it feels. Let's see even if it's something for us or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, okay, we will do this in a very
slow
way.
Burn.
And thankfully, And for us, COVID just started, because that was exactly like the same week that COVID started.
I think COVID for us was a bit of a godsend.
Exactly. Like, I understand that for many people it was a very difficult situation. For us, it was a time to rebuild the relationship, to pot and poke that relationship.
Pot and poke. You'll have to explain that one.
Basically, it's other spirituality thing, but I will explain it another time. But basically, destroy and create and destroy our relationship.
Okay, yeah.
And it was interesting, you know, because that's when we, like, I am a very kind of more methodical person, being triple Virgo.
The big three.
I went directly to, okay, the steps, organization, how we can open a relationship.
I got to just jump in here. Yeah, Nash is probably one of the most analytical, organized, down to every spreadsheet person I have ever met. I mean, I do have stories about when we were backpacking Asia on her budget, and it was great fun, but I really wanted an ice cream some days. It wasn't in our budget.
Yeah, no, it was a big
problem. Yeah, she's very analytical. Yeah.
So basically, like first, let's see the origin of this belief of what is a traditional relationship. Was not just, okay, let's open next week. We'll start doing
something.
And
let's sleep with someone. No. Yeah, exactly.
Just to have it clear for the people that listen to this. From the moment that we have the conversation, February 2020, to the moment that we have the first just kiss experience, past 1 year and a half.
Yeah.
So it was August 2021.
And in that time, we were looking at YouTube, reading books, having conversations, nearly daily conversations.
Exactly. It was like a full task that we were saying, okay, we are opening our relationship, but the most important part is looking after us. So for how I see it, it's a relationship, the way that you open it, you will open the relationship from... You open it and you put a spotlight in the roots of your relationship, in the basement, and in the structure of your house. Let's say
the foundation.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if your foundation of your relationship is weak, the relationship will fail. So what we had to do was put that spotlight, see where all the cracks was in a relationship, and start healing all those cracks before opening a relationship.
Yeah.
I think that was the key for a relationship become stronger.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we went and see, okay, we're having problems of communication. We're having problems of how to solve conflict. We're having problems. Like, we start checking all the conflicts that we were having in a relationship and start addressing one by one how to do it better. That's why it took us, like, that long. After that, basically, we start going, like, the history behind, like, I went to the history behind marriage. Like, how this idea of romantic love, how emotions work. So it was not just something by the surface. We wanted to do that kind of, probably that's why every person that kind of we tell our story, they say, like, you have to open a podcast, because they are very close about the idea of even polyamory. And the ones that we tell our story, it's like, okay, you know what? I never see it from that perspective. Yeah. I never kind of imagine even from that way.
Because as you said earlier on, oftentimes it's, oh, there's someone in work I fancy, so I'll have this conversation so I can ask this person in work out and see how it works out, which could, you know, I'm not saying it definitely will, but could end in complete nuking your whole life.
Yes, exactly. You know, so at the end of the day, like, I went and checked at least all these limited beliefs that we grow as a woman, you know, because men and women, we have a very different formation. Us as a women, since we are kids, we start with the idea of, like, putting by TV, cartoons. Like, right now it's changing, but all this that your Prince Charming will come and save you from whatever situation you have. So your ideal and your main thing is you have to find your prince. If you don't find your prince, that's your goal in life. When for guys, they have this idea of your goal in life is provide. So you have to be successful in your career. You have to be successful in whatever way you want to do money. And then the second thing will be your wife. Because your wife just come to help to kind of look after you. Well, for us, the guy is like here, you know. But the thing is, and I don't want to come up with ideas of feminists or, like, at the end of the day, these ideas were all created by men to make sure that they will always have someone looking after them, you know?
All these rules that are in society are from the old white man, and they still propagate through society. Yeah, just this sense of control over, I need to have control, I need to have my say over, this is how things are done. And, like, thankfully in the last, I'd say, 50 years, maybe 50 to 100 years, we started to see cracks in that mentality where the old mentalities and the old ways of doing things and the status quo and the old white man up on his high horse, these are starting to crack. You know, and there are more open ideas towards sex and sexuality and relationships and LGBTQ plus community and like everything in terms of, you know, more individualized thinking.
Exactly. You know, so at the end of the day, that was kind of interesting to be knowing, like, okay, marriage, the idea of marriage, it comes from we will be happy together, like, for the rest of our life. Because when marriage was invented, basically the life expected was 28, 30, 35 years.
I'd be long in the ground. If we were 200 years ago, we'd both be gone.
And we'll be complete, our promise. Yeah.
You'd be an old lady and I'd be dead.
Exactly, you know, because we're talking like marriage comes like from centuries, years ago, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and the problem with humanity, well, was basically that us as a woman, we're able to know who are our kids because we're carrying our kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But guys, you were not able to know, like, we're talking like not right now, like, we're going to, like,
please reference Game of Thrones.
Games of Thrones signs where the guys were not able to know who are their kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only way to they can control this idea was, okay, let's sell this idea that love, you as a woman, you can be just with one man.
Mm-hmm.
If I marry you, you have this virginal idea that I cannot sexualize you. You will be just the mom of my kids. And as such, you cannot be sexualized. You are just there for having kids and you will just love me because that's what is love about.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, me as a man, I have more needs, so I can go and go to the bordel.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because traditionally, like if you look back into antiquity, especially amongst the nobility, everyone who was married, every gentleman would all have a mistress somewhere, or they'd be going to the brothel, as you said, or they'd be, you know, there'd always be the mistress for the gentleman, you know, which was socially accepted back then.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things. Now, I think in the last 100 years or so, marriage itself as an institution has become a lot tighter as man and woman, you know, and this idea of, I mean, you don't have people with mistresses traditionally anymore, but affairs still happen.
Yeah. So basically, definitely, like, it still happen. But the thing is that going to these ideas of where all this come from is basically that as well, women, we were not kind of, if we have the idea of women like sex too, that women that just belong to the border.
God forbid, women like sex too.
So basically it comes from all that, you know, all these limited beliefs, because you as a mom, you cannot have all these kind of seen thoughts because you have to be more virginal. So you,
somebody think of the children.
Exactly. Uh-huh. You know what the children will think. So at the end of the day, all this concept was created in that way just to feel the patriarchy, to have this idea. So the idea of romantic love, it comes from there. Like many people, maybe like you like it or not, but that's how romantic love was created. Mm-hmm. The ones that you see that way is not romantic at all. I still believe like you can be with a person like until grow old. Like basically it's just kind of adapt all these ideas to our new society, questioning if it's something you believe or not. Uh-huh. If it's something that you believe and you are happy with it, that's perfect for you. Mm-hmm. That's not the problem. But here is more for the people that start questioning that belief and want to experience all this with their partners and see what kind of brings.
Interestingly, you should say that because in a few weeks or next week, hopefully, I'll be having a friend on here who's studied biology and wants to discuss the difference between romantic love and chemical love. So the difference between our perception of love as a human and the actual chemical triggers that make you fall in love in the first instance. And I think that's going to be very interesting because it's because of that chemical, whatever it is within the human that has this idea of, oh, I fancy the person I work with, so I'm going to have an affair, or else I'm going to see if I can open a relationship just so I can sleep with this person I work with, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very, like, as I've said before, I find humans are so bloody interesting. I mean, just everything about humans just interests me, intrigues me, but also irritates and confuses me.
Yeah, no, completely understandable. And at the end of the day, it was that. That how we kind of make it work mm-hmm. all this time, you know. So that part, it brings us to have agreements mm-hmm. that we start having. Like, once that we fix the roots of our relationship, you know, like, what can improve? And in this case, I want to kind of thank, in a way, to a psychologist that I was following. I still follow him on Instagram, that I think so for the Spanish market, the people that speak Spanish, because he only does content in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Gotitas de Poliamor. He was like a big influence, at least in me, because he was in Spanish, so I was able to transmit it to you
mm-hmm.
all the time. And he's like very knowledgeable about everything about polyamory, how to open a relationship, how to mm-hmm. Management things, communication. And a lot of our relationship is based on his beliefs, you know, in all the tips that he's doing in Instagram. So that was great as well. And I feel that our communication improved like 1,000%.
Yeah.
I think so. Like, at least, and I wanted to share our story on how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just for people there that they kind of, like, if they feel that their marriage need to be kind of evolved as well, and they would like to still continue with their partners, or continue, like, because they still love them. I still love you with all my heart. I still want to be with you. But at the same time, like, opening a relationship was a very, very good mm-hmm. experience, because we both have grown a lot mm-hmm. knowing different people. And because every person can add you something to your life, you know,
mm-hmm,
even if
absolutely.
It's just one date
mm-hmm.
to, like,
you learn something new from exactly, a new, you know? Interesting human being. Yeah,
exactly. At the end of the day, and we kind of make sure that every time that we were doing these dates, we were taking something that we could not nourish us at the same time of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of guiding this. Other thing that I would like to mention that is very important, I think so, is that many couples that they try to do the open relationship, mm-hmm. they agree to do it silence.
And not tell each other, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I think that. So that's like a big red light.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really, really...
Because you constantly feel like you're keeping a secret from the person
exactly.
you love most in the world.
That one, you have to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, your partner will question, like, what are you doing today? Where are you going? And
out with a friend.
Exactly. And if you both agree, okay, we won't tell each other for don't hurt us, at the end of the day, you will end up lying. You will end up breaking one agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Or you
mm-hmm.
will have to say the truth, or you will have to kind of lie.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it always ended up kind of very messy. And the other person start getting kind of these ideas of jealousy of what is with other person. Like, it gets a lot of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that if you are not ready to know what your partner is doing, take a little bit more time and go as well. Because we had to do a lot of healing
mm-hmm.
ourselves
yeah,
as well
yeah.
to be able to open a relationship. Like mm-hmm. many people say, like, you don't feel jealousy. Of course you feel jealousy.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
are human. Like, jealousy is part
it's
of
part
us.
Part of the human experience, so
but,
absolutely.
But it comes to the matter of you have to learn new skills when you open a relationship.
Yeah.
So new skills like communicate more effectively,
mm-hmm.
learn to ask your needs,
mm-hmm.
Be open to solve conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's the at least the main ones that come to my mind.
Yeah, and like the big one for me that I mentioned in another, that I think will be episode 3. This will just be a special episode, but episode 3, I look into jealousies and all that. And I discuss how flipping jealousy into something called compersion can be of great benefit. So instead of feeling angry over your partner out having a good time with someone else, you feel the joy for them living their life to the full and knowing they're out having an amazing experience. So you're feeling that joy for your partner rather than feeling that jealousy over your partner giving affection to someone else. Like, it's served me well so
yeah.
far.
At the end of the day, we have to understand jealous, like Jaime would say in the psychologist I was telling you about, jealousy are friends, not enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, is when you have jealous, see, and the way that works for me is, okay, I'm feeling jealous. Where this feeling is coming from,
mm-hmm.
what it's trying to tell me. Because at the end of the day, like all the emotions that we have in our body, every single one of them are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to show us something.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's anger, it's because somebody is trespassing our boundaries. If it's sadness, it's because it's something, a need that is not being covered.
Mm-hmm.
If it's joy, but like every single emotion is there. In the case of jealousy, it's a fear of losing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Fear of
inadequacy.
Exactly. If fear things change, it's, mm-hmm. like it's a fear there. So basically, like, the way that I manage it is when I feel jealousy, I go deep inside me, say, okay, where does jealousy mm-hmm. come from? If it's something, if it's just because of me, because, for example, you are not giving me attention.
Yeah, yeah.
In that case, it's okay. I need attention, so I can just go with you and say, Carl, I need a little bit more attention.
I get that 100%, because there's cards on the table, and this is me being open, vulnerable, and honest. It's like I'd suffer from a thing called imposter syndrome, where often enough I feel like I'm not good enough, that I compare myself to others and feel like I'm not good enough in compared to this, and this. Yeah, so in those moments when I'm feeling that imposter syndrome, and you're out on a date, let's say, that jealousy can come up with me until I have to just take a step back and remind myself why we're doing this, that I appreciate your individuality, that I'm happy for you out having a great time. And once I'm there, I settle in myself, and then I'm like, great, I've got, you know, the place to myself. I can watch whatever movie I want because, you know,
yeah.
I have that space just to do whatever I feel or do some meditation or work on myself.
Yeah, I think so. Always at the beginning, it takes this practice at the end of the day, like everything. But the important part is always be open
mm-hmm.
and open to listen and open to ask,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
because that's when it
to
comes
give and receive,
exactly,
yeah.
to come the part of to understand what is the need you're having. Like you're feeling fear of the person doesn't love you anymore. You're having fear of thing change. All those feelings are completely valid,
mm-hmm.
and they will happen when you open a relationship. So here, the most important part is be able to have the reassurance from your partner.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the other keys, I think, so that will be important. And make agreements. Other of the things that Jaime say all the time, if you make a rule, you are trusting. It's like he was making an example of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to put a chain to a dog to don't bite you, it's because you are trusting more in the chain and not in the dog.
That's interesting.
So
I like that one.
Because at the end of the day, you don't trust that the dog won't bite you. You are trusting that the chain won't break.
Prevent the dog.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why rules are like mm-hmm. hard, because you are putting a chain. The rule is the equal of a chain.
Mm-hmm.
You are not trusting in the person. You are trusting that the rule will keep everything safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you make an agreement, you are coming from a more vulnerable place, always understanding that agreements can change.
Mm-hmm.
You can agree to something now, and maybe if it doesn't work, always be open to say, you know what, need to renegotiate this agreement because it's not working.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
So when it's agreement, it's both kind of agreeing to something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think so that's the other part, the other important part. And it's completely valid to have this fear of, you know what happening if my partner fall in love with other person.
Absolutely.
That's all one of the other fears.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it can happen.
Yeah.
Definitely it can happen. I have been there. I don't know if you have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like having emotion for other person, because we're humans. We are emotional person, you mm-hmm. know? And we care for other people, and we have the capacity to love more people, you know, to have feelings for other people. Not necessarily has to be love, because at the end of the day, like, think about a relationship with your sisters or, mm-hmm. or your relationship with your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Every friend, like, let's say you have three friends, every friend has, you care for each one of them. Completely different levels, because the experience that you have with each friend is in a completely different level.
Mm-hmm.
One will be maybe your best friend for parties. The other one will be your confidant. One will be almost everything, but still kind of doesn't like to parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have like this kind of different.
Well, that's the same in relationships. Looking for that one person to fill in all of these big.
Yeah. Imagine jobs, if they tell you can just have one friend and that's it.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to have more
and
friends.
That one friend has to cover your everything, your every need.
Exactly.
As a friend.
I have to be there forever.
You could never ask that of anyone, and you would never ask that of a partner. Like, I could never ask that of you. I know that.
I know, because we have to, as well, it comes to the part that we have to care for to fulfill as well ourselves.
Uh-huh. So self-care, once again, looking after yourself and you know, appreciating each other's individuality.
Exactly, uh-huh. You know? So at the end of the day, it's, of course, it's just break. When you open a relationship, it's breaking the box.
Mm-hmm.
The belief that we have been growing since, that it comes like generation after generation. Mm-hmm. So it's not something easy. That's why I feel that the time that we took to open a relationship was the necessary time to open a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. So would you suggest anyone planning on having this conversation with a partner, just go easy, take it slow, don't go in with any expectations of what will happen if they have this conversation?
You know what? Take this podcast, listen, like show it to your partner and say, what do you think about that? And we save you a lot of like going like just like.
Okay, so talking about partners, right? And this is from the male emotional perspective. So let's turn me into an emotional male. So since opening our relationship, what changes have you seen within me or within my role or my own attitude towards our relationship?
Well, I think so. And I think so. This applies for both. We both need to work in our securities
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the day, remember that we have this conversation about, okay, we agree that we'll be forever together. That was a promise when we married.
Mm. But, to love, honor, and obey. Wife, woman.
But basically that promise doesn't align with us anymore.
Yeah.
We want to be together mm-hmm. until we want to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what this did was both knowing that this relationship is not secure. It's not secure in the way that, I don't know if you will be with me in 5 years, 10 years, just mm-hmm. because we have a ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of, I want you to be with me because I love you. Mm-hmm. So we have to be...
the choice.
We have to be choosing us every day.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be looking after a relationship every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be working in ourselves so we don't give each other for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the moment that you want to leave, you can leave because mm-hmm. I won't be stopping you. I don't want to be you be with me just because we are married.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying the same.
It works both ways, yeah. You're under no obligation.
Exactly.
You could wake up tomorrow and feel like this isn't working for me. And we can have that conversation. And I feel we'd still remain the best of friends.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I don't see anything in our future where we'd end up with a hating each other, needing to split the assets kind of a divorce going on.
Yeah, no, hopefully we never, and I don't think so because it's not in our character.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, so we have to be more secure about ourselves. Understanding that the other person could leave in any moment,
mm-hmm.
but not from a negative point of view,
mm-hmm.
because at the end of the
day, once again, appreciating their individuality.
Exactly. So it's more like, okay, you know what? I will be looking after you.
Yeah.
I will be like, start looking more after myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the self-care. Same time.
Self-care. Very important.
So I start having more self-care.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we start like, not more, you could say more happy, but not because we were not making each other happy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we were experiencing other situations completely outside of our routine, outside of our life
uh-huh.
as a monogamous couple.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of, as well, could bring your energy completely up, like feel like, enrich you in experiences, enrich you in many things.
That's completely true because I know how I am. I know how I'm wired that if we had been monogamous and I think I've always had an interest towards, you know, different things when it comes to sex and sexuality in any way. And I know that if we had been in a monogamous relationship all this time, I would have carried that resentment going, oh, I'll never get to try X, Y, and Z. I'll never be able to experience things. And it's that freedom that although we give each other that freedom that we have different interests, that you can do your thing. And there are things that I'm, like, as I said at the start of this podcast, there are things that I may be into that you have no interest in, but I'm able to explore that side of myself from being able to experience these things with other people who have that interest also, which is so liberating. And it would be similar for in anything. Like, let's say you have an interest in wanting to go to a cooking class and I never do. You could find a partner who's mad into cooking.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You can share that experience with them.
Definitely.
And it's not just limited to sex and sexuality is what I'm trying to say. It's mm-hmm. it's open to so many things. And so like every person is such a mix like of emotions. You're a different person from one day to the next. I know I'm a different person than I was last week, perhaps even yesterday.
Yeah.
And I will be a very different person in 1 year, 5 years and 10 years from now as I hope you will be, and I hope we grow together that way, because if you're not growing, you may as well be dead.
Yeah, exactly. It comes here now, my other spiritual side. Ooh. At the end of the day, I love past lives, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like a big believer of past lives, and I have been studying it a lot. I have done courses on past life therapy, regressions, and I love that. So any moment you want a therapy, let me know. But basically, it's this belief that we come to this life to experience and learn mm-hmm. everything that we can. So when you are open to meet new people and understand that they are not coming, when you met someone, doesn't necessarily have to be there forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They will be the time that they have to be. Mm-hmm. Because they come in to teach you a lesson, they come in to give you something that if you take it and receive it, can be a lesson, can be like a blessing. But at the end of the day, it's something new that you didn't have before that person come to your life.
Mm-hmm.
You will be enriching your life experience. And we have had this that when we are talking to about our relationship or life to different the people that we met randomly, they are always like very kind of amazed about our life, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because we're open to all these experiences that we understand now. Like, for example, I remember when we were traveling, backpacking in Asia, that being able to have this open relationship, I remember that was a period that you were not feeling, you were not wanting to socialize, you were more kind of going inwards.
Mm-hmm.
I respect your time. At the same time, I didn't
You couldn't limit yourself
exactly.
for my emotional state. And that's totally understandable because I'd be feeling worse off if I felt, because I was in an emotional bad way, that you were being limited from exploration in any way, shape, or that would make me feel worse ultimately.
Yeah, you know, so I remember that just having this kind of, I had one of the best days of my, not like, I was like the best day of my life, of course not, because it was like, but one of the best nights out, mm-hmm. that was a day out completely. I remember being going with the guys that invited me to be in a bike. But in
on
Vietnam,
the mopeds, on the motorbikes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We went to this marble mountain in Hoi An.
Yeah, yeah.
And from there, we went to eat all together.
Uh-huh.
Then we went partying all night. And the attraction I don't know, I was feeling like completely, like super, super, super fun. I make very interesting friends there.
On the flip side of that day, though, I took that day myself and I rented a bike and I went down to the beach and I sat there all day writing and thinking about myself, smoking a cigar and just contemplating my own place in the universe. While I knew you were out having a good time, it gave me that space to really take a step back and analyze where all these down emotions were coming from. Not to interject into your story, but
but
it had the benefit on both sides that I knew you were off having a good time. You're looked after. I don't have to worry about that. So I can focus on why am I feeling in such a shitty fucking mood right now?
Yeah, so it was like really, really interesting because if we were in a monogamous relationship, if a guy invited me just to be driving bag, you would be like,
never.
I can have, find like girlfriends, and of course it's completely valid. Mm-hmm. But the experience that I have the day, it was like really fun. It was nothing to do sexual,
mm-hmm.
but just be open
exactly.
to that. I can be flirty, I can enjoy,
exactly.
I can have fun.
Yeah, and you can feel sexy without being sexual.
Exactly,
because
you know?
You're getting that attention from a bunch of very attractive guys.
So it was just like so. At the end of the day, my point with this is that you are open to whatever experience the life brings you, you know? And then I can come and tell you, you know what? I have this amazing day. This happened.
And I'm going to love hearing about it.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So at the same time, you become my best friend.
Uh-huh.
You are like the person that I come and tell what is happening, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and so that makes a relationship stronger because we don't hide things from each other. When we have feelings for someone else, we share that. You know what? But always giving the reassurance for each other.
Mm-hmm,
so, of course, like, I don't want the people that are listening to this say, like, oh, yeah, I have to get to that point straight away. No, we have been...
It's a journey. Love is a journey.
We have been on this, like, 4 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the steps that we have been given every time to be open in our relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, and for example, when I'm listening to stories in Reddit or I read the stories in Reddit, I can see from our point of view what they are doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
it's like when you look at the Am I the Asshole story,
stuff like that, you know,
they're so good.
That is like, I understand the point of why they wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the execution was really bad.
Exactly. Yeah. You can see it's a good idea, but, you know, in practice, it all, they might as well have just set off a nuclear bomb, because how they didn't communicate, how they didn't approach things with an open mindset, how they were trying to sneak around behind someone's back. And you can see the domino effect, you know, where you're just like, oh, buddy, if you just had, you know, if you just opened up to that conversation as
exactly,
difficult, as
you know,
difficult as it can be.
And even if you open the conversation, have it like, see, like, don't throw it in the bin straight away.
But even if your partner's not receptive, at least you know then about more about your partner, and you're able to then have a conversation about, well, this is my interest, these are your interests, they're not aligned 5-10 years down the line, so where do we go from here? Instead of letting things fester and become an angry divorce, they can talk about splitting on the most amicable terms that, you know, is good for each other's happiness.
So at the end of the day, like, the anarchy of relationships,
anarchy.
I like it because it basically creates a relationship based on your needs, not taking the traditional monogamous relationship and just put it on the take it all the packet without questioning.
There is no one size fits all, because every relationship, we discussed before, every relationship is special. Every relationship is unique. Every relationship is different. No two relationships, monogamous or non-monogamous, are ever going to be the same.
Exactly. So like completely 100%. And we, like you said, we have been talking about this. Every person, like at the end of the day, a relationship is the mix of the character of two people, like joining that kind of energy, you know? So you and I, this relationship, you will never be able to imitate it in someone else.
No.
And I will never be able to imitate it.
Exactly.
Because we are unique.
But you can show parts of your personality in this relationship that you necessarily can't show with others, or it's not even needed to be shown because it's not part of that dynamic.
Yeah, because you bring on me certain things, but maybe other person won't bring.
Exactly. We'll
bring completely different parts that even I don't know about myself.
Mm-hmm. Like we were saying about the cooking class earlier, the partner enjoys cooking, that you can, you know, enjoy that side of your personality that you cannot enjoy that side of your personality with me.
Exactly. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, and then you can agree to have any type of relationship you want. If you want just swingers, totally fine. If you want polyamory, that is like be open more to relationship, totally fine. If you want more a completely anarchy relationship and create 100% your relationship from
as long as there's communication and consent.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's like that's kind of have the agreements. Mm-hmm. And here I will invite the people listening to this, like, what is more your questions about. Because, of course, we tell all the story about how we opened the relationship.
We have a lot going on here right now. We're over an hour now chatting away.
So, basically, I don't want to make this longer. But just basically, what is the first question, like the questions that come to your mind when you hear a story? Like, if you want to open a relationship or it's something that you identify, like, what is the questions? Like, I just want to say, we're not psychologists. We are not like...
No, we're just living life as life is being served to us on our terms.
Exactly.
And living love on our terms.
So we just feel that for us was important to share our story, to break this taboo about open relationship. And maybe because if we were feeling that way, maybe even with one or two people that we can help through this process and say, you know what, I was feeling that way. I thought I would never talk it. That's making all sense.
So like if anyone out there does have any questions or has their story they want to share where we can read it online and then we talk about it, feel free to email in. We've set up the email address polyamrewepodcast@gmail.com. So, I mean, that would be awesome if anyone out there is looking for, you know, some reassurances or a bit of opinion on, you know, their path.
We should do a Reddit.
We should subreddit. Subreddit. Let's get on that.
So basically, it's never from a point of, oh yeah, I'm expert in this. It's just basically an experience.
I am an expert in nothing.
But at the end of the day,
as I go along, that goes for everything in life.
I feel that actually one day I went to a date with a psychologist and therapy.
A therapist.
That he was kind of interesting in this kind of polyamory thing. And when I was explaining our process, he was saying like, like, basically you're saying all to me, like I say to my clients, you know, you are really, really well prepared, because at the end of the day, we took this very serious for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We really dig our investigation, and this is where it works for us. Maybe for other people it doesn't, but at the end of the day, this is more for the people that it works, you know, like, and even just questioning if it's something you like, something you don't. And it's, as long as you question it and you're sure whatever you want.
I think the big thing about the human condition that I've always lived up to is question everything. Don't take anything just because somebody says something to be true, that this is a fact, that it is a fact. There's a facts and opinions look very, very similar, but can be very, very different. So do your own due diligence, do your research, do your own.
See what works for you.
See what works for you and works for your partner. If you're already in a relationship, or if you're in an open relationship, just explore and question and learn and grow. And
other thing that you say very important there, at the end of the day, understand that one thing is the theory that you learn,
mm-hmm.
and then putting it in the practice is the other thing.
Uh-huh.
You have to understand that maybe in theory you talk it with your partner and they agree, they like it, and in the moment of the practice, all this planning, it cannot work.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And you realize that there's so many more hurdles that we didn't even think would be a hurdle.
So at the end of the day, it's just going back again to understand, be very compassive with your partner. No, it's not like, oh, but you told me that this is what we agree, uh-huh. and that's it. And it's like, no, like, this is like...
There's always renegotiation needed, exactly, with always, open and honest time. Communication.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered it. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
No, I think so for
here?
The moment. Like,
I'm sure you'll be back on this podcast, seeing as how, you know, you're stuck with me for the next few years at least, wife woman.
I am.
Not going nowhere.
Yeah, just let us know if you have any more questions about it,
mm-hmm.
like things that you would like to know that we didn't cover here,
or
even things that we cover but you would like to go more, that we go deeper, just send it in the email.
An email. We're also on Instagram at PolyamRWE. We're on YouTube at PolyamRWE. And we are on TikTok as PolyamRWE. Who would have saw that coming? Oh, we got that name everywhere. I need a website.
I need a website.
That's the next step. It'll be I'm not going to give anything away.
Okay.
And we'll scoop my website. Okay, everyone. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening to myself, Carl, and Nash on this journey of polyamory and ethical non-monogamy once again. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, on this journey, stay open, stay loving, and stay you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.